When you're out in the ocean going for a swim, have you ever spared a thought of all the wildlife and marine life out there? Besides sharks, of course. You may be feeling safe that the shark nets somewhere under the ocean are keeping you protected. But did you know that 90% of those caught up in those shark nets are actually not sharks? They can be turtles, seahorses, whales, dolphins, rays, and even seals. And despite non-lethal alternatives to mitigate shark and human interactions now being used globally, New South Wales coastlines has kept relying on the nets since 1937. Razor's Edge Helena Netland-Helverson went investigating out at Bondi and spoke to Threatened and Endangered Species campaigner from Sea Shepherd, Lauren Sanderman.
So shark nets were designed in New South Wales in the 1930s. And they've been in use ever since. So these shark nets were designed with the intent to entangle and kill off every single shark in the area. So essentially, it's a shark cull. And we've expanded where we've used shark nets since the 1930s. So now that they encompass 51 beaches from Newcastle, Sydney, and Wollongong. And essentially, it's a fishing program to catch and kill sharks. Right. Now, it's important where people understand what we're actually talking about when we just talk about shark nets, because there's this horrible misconception around what shark nets actually look like and what they're designed to do. So talking about shark nets in New South Wales, we're talking about a tiny fishing net deployed about 500 meters from the shore that's only 150 meters long and 6 meters deep, set in water that varies between 10 to 12 meters depth. Now, the 51 beaches where these nets are used range from several hundred meters to several kilometers, and they're only covered by this one fishing net.
This has been going on since the 30s, and they must have kept somewhat track of statistics and reports throughout the years to see if they actually are beneficial. Would you say that it's contradicting with what they report, or is there a lack of reports? What's the situation in...
Well, with any program that started in the 1930s, your old data isn't exactly reliable. But what we do know now is that instead of a shark cull, we essentially have a larger scale marine life cull, because these nets don't discriminate between what swims into it. And around 80 to 98% of what gets caught and killed in these nets are not target sharks. They're dolphins and whales and turtles and seals and even penguins. And many of these species are threatened and protected. What's even worse is that the latest scientific advice on shark mitigation says that shark nets do not reduce the risk of a shark interaction happening. So we're knowingly killing off our local marine life for a false sense of security.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, like, there's a lot of bycatch, and they have been trying throughout the years to update their equipment and such. And I've seen like the drumline situation, and there's also something called smart drumlines as well. Is there a major difference to it, and are they actually beneficial?
The difference between a traditional drumline and what they like to call a smart drumline, which is a shark management alert in real time drumline, is essentially a sensor pad. So a drumline is just a baited hook that hangs off a buoy floating in the middle of the ocean, and anything can come up and eat, essentially come up and eat, or put it on a baited hook. The difference between a traditional drumline and a smart drumline is that there's a sensor on a smart drumline that lets a contractor know if something has become hooked on it, so that they can respond faster to go out to a drumline to, if it's a target shark, so a white shark, a bull shark, or a tiger shark, tag it and release it. Whereas on a traditional drumline, any animal, whether it be a dolphin or a turtle or a shark, if they get caught in a drumline, can be hanging out there for 3 days on a hook.
Right. Okay. So they're actually not doing anything about it, and it's actually killing more. And also with the smart drumlines as well, I can imagine that they only get to reach a couple of the animals that are caught in it to actually save them.
Well, it depends on the species when it comes to drumline. So some animals are a lot more susceptible to catch-related stress than others. You know, there's a saying amongst marine conservationists, like, a hammerhead sees a hook and dies. So the response time is crucial for being able to actually respond to animals caught on a drumline. But What we have is like for nets are only, shark nets are only checked every 72 hours. So any animal that swims into it and gets entangled, unless someone spots it from the shoreline, which is 500 meters away, and calls in an alert, that animal will have 72 hours essentially being slowly drowned before anyone's going to come and rescue it. So like we saw last season, 38% of all the animals caught in the net were released alive.
That's horrible numbers in general, and it's definitely sufficient evidence to, we have to evolve basically. So do something about it. And if we're taking a bit back, what would you say, like how or where did this culture of fear of shark come about?
The fear mentality around sharks is quite fascinating. You know, everyone knows, the implications of, jaws and talking about, how sharks kind of get sensationalized in the media. But it really dates back to kind of changing around how we talk about things. You know, when a shark bite happens in the media, it's a shark attack or sharks are stalking the beach. We had imageries come out of two hammerhead sharks just swimming offshore inside the shark net at Bondi Beach. And some of the international media was going on about how these hammerhead sharks were stalking the locals on the beach. Whereas if you'd actually had someone swimming near these sharks, they would have swum off in fright. And there's this horrible misconception that sharks are out to attack and kill people when that is the furthest from the truth. Sharks aren't out stalking us. They're not there to be feared. They're there to be respected. They're so important for the marine ecosystem that people want to safely coexist with a healthy ocean ecosystem, and sharks are so crucial to that. And the thing with shark nets is that we have all these modern non-lethal alternatives for shark mitigation, such as drone surveillance, such as tagging and tracking sharks, currently deployed and have been proven to help reduce the risk of a shark interaction happening without killing off all of our local marine life. We have the alternatives already here today, and we're just leaning on a safety standard that's 100 years old to protect our beaches when we know they don't work and we know the horrific impact they have. Well, the thing that's really interesting, according to, and the thing that when it comes to shark nets, a recent independent report that came out this year commissioned by the New South Wales government found that, 85% of shark interactions between Newcastle to Wollongong happen at a beach with a shark net. When we have shark nets in the water, we're still swimming with sharks. They're not barriers. They're not designed to barricade off sections of the beach. We can have shark barriers to enclose off sections of the beach if people want, but that is not the purpose of a shark net. And already 40% of sharks that are caught in these nets are caught on the beach side of them when they're swimming back out to sea. People know the big ones, with the, dawn and dusk swimming, but things like, swimming near river mouths after it's rained, or don't swim through bait bowls or increase kind of activity because there's likely to be multiple different marine predators interacting in that area, from dolphins to sharks. A beach with a shark swimming past can be a little scary for some people, but everyone should be terrified of an ocean without sharks.
Exactly, yeah. And I feel like, as you mentioned as well, with how big of a part they play in the ecosystem, they're crucial to our existence and everything. And talking about this on a government level, do you think that, like, does the Australian government do enough? And what should be happening on that level?
In shark conservation, there's a lot more Australia can be doing in shark conservation generally. And that's a really big nut in there to walk. That's a whole nother show in and of itself. What Australia has is we have some truly incredible marine life throughout our entire country. And sharks are a big part of that, big part to be celebrated, to be showcased, and to be conserved. We've got sharks play as the apex predator. They play such a key role in every ecosystem, from cold to temperate climates up into the equatorial zone. And so conserving them, we're losing 100 million sharks on average a year. These shark culling programs in New South Wales and further north in Queensland, because these programs are so old, we have loopholes in our federal legislation that allows them to not have any environmental oversight or repercussions for the impact they have on our marine environment.
Right. So basically the government is not doing, or like upholding their part, or the system is so flawed that there's actually not that much happening, even though there has been regulations put in place.
So the shark control programs are a state-run program. And don't get me, let me be perfectly clear. Shark nets are purely a political problem. because we have the scientific advice, the community research about what people want from shark mitigation at their local beaches, through to local councils, through to even coastal MPs. It couldn't be clearer. People want these programs to finish. They want effective non-lethal solutions in their wake, and they just don't want to see hundreds of animals killed every year for a false sense of security.
Right.
And that is entirely up to state governments. Simply, it's a misconception problem when it comes to the minister. No minister wants to be seen as putting shark lives before human lives, essentially. That's the political slogan. It's all to do with a complete lack of understanding about the holistic of shark management and mitigation in New South Wales. You know, because these programs have been around for so long, everyone's used to them being there. So removing them seems daunting to a politician, but that's not what we know what's actually happening. We've got years of community surveys. We've got years of scientific research saying that people want these gone. It's just that final political step, say, we're going to follow the latest scientific advice. We're going to do what's in the best interest of our communities, and we're going to do what's in the best interest of keeping people safe and protecting our marine environment.
Lauren Sandeman is the Threatened and Endangered Species Campaigner from Sea Shepherd, and ending that report by Race's Edge, Helena Netland-Havison.